A doctor and an engineer and a lawyer were arguing over whose profession was the oldest. On the sixth day, God took one of Adam's ribs and created Eve, said the doctor. So that makes him a surgeon first. Please, said the engineer, before that, God created the world from chaos and confusion. So he was first an engineer. Interesting, said the lawyer smugly. But who do you think created chaos and confusion? Easter to me is a very important event. And this Sunday we are talking about sacrifices and the history of sacrifice. Whether or not you think you're disconnected from that because we live 2,000 years after Jesus, we are not. We have a history that is tied back to the ancient practice of sacrifice. Human sacrifices, animal sacrifices, all our cultures connect back through to that. And one of the things that I think Jesus did was end the practice of sacrifice. He made it once and for all, and that's what Paul is talking about, a once and for all sacrifice in which was given for humanity. We don't no longer, most of us don't, practice a sacrifice. I think in replacement of that, which somewhere along the line in the message I was going to say, but I'll say now, is that we give to our neighbors and we give to one another. So we have we don't necessarily give animal sacrifices to a god or a god, but we give them to each other out of the phrase, love our neighbor as ourselves. I think that was one of the internalization in which I think Jesus did. I understand the term Easter. And it comes from the pagan goddess Ishtar, and I understand all that. I have no, it's the female goddess, which has been used for us Gentiles who are not Jewish in faith. And I don't have any problem with that either. I think it overlays over top of the spring solstice and spring celebration. And there are people that I know who complain about that and the use of the term Easter and Estar and all that. I don't really see an issue with that. I think sometimes we fight too much over terminology and what is then really what is behind the words in which we're trying to use. There's a message that it goes beyond the words, and I think sometimes we argue over that. One of the things I think Jesus did in Easter was make a universal to the world a plan of salvation to move humanity to a new place. Whether you see it as merely Christian, I think the term Christianity has kind of stolen the universality of what Jesus has said and did and really wanted. And that's why I still use the idea that Jesus' teachings is an ingredient that we are to put, internalize into each one of us. And it can be applied in any culture, anywhere, and any time. But in order to look back through time, and we have to understand why a sacrifice was necessary, a one and all sacrifice to stop it all, we have to look back at the history of sacrifice. Where did it all come from? Where did it all start? And how did we get to where we are here now? I think in order to understand Easter and Christmas, and really understand the Bible from one end to the other, you have to, at some point in time, come to the grips with gods and goddesses and God. You have to have a distinction of some sort and understand, have some kind of understanding as to that reality in the Bible, in order to understand why salvation was necessary and why sacrifice in particular of what we're talking about today was used. To me, it just so much enhances our understanding of who we are and what we came from. I don't really know the beginning of humanity, and I don't understand exactly when everything started, and there's various different ways in which we can look at it. I have shared about the bioevolutionary way of thinking. you can believe that God created us in 6 days, over time. God used most of, many different things, many different processes. I'm not even really going to argue about that. I think it's whatever you want to decide to believe is fine with me. I'm not going to really argue over it. But one of the things that I will debate about is, again, the use and the understanding of gods and goddesses. You can't get through the Bible again without understanding that and why sacrifices were necessary. These group of gods and goddesses, the way I understand it, I'm going to give it the way I understand, and you can take it however you like, and you can argue with me or discuss it with me, and that's okay. I don't have a problem with that. I never did. But right from the very beginning in the Bible, it talks about Elohim, right off the bat. Us, there's an us. There's not a one particular in which we look at today. I believe that Jude warns us against doing just what we did in the Christian faith. We eliminated that them gods and goddesses underneath whatever God is, this power that's far beyond which I can't understand. We call that God. And I believe that Jesus came to give us access above these gods and goddesses. That's where I think the Easter story, the Christmas story, and the Easter story is. And for me, if you don't have some kind of grasp of that idea, you really kind of miss, the story of sacrifice, resurrection, and freedom. All your holy books that I know about all talk about gods and goddesses, and they've been with us ever since. Every culture has it. Every the Vedas, the Bible has it. Every holy book that I know has them in it. So, to me, you have to incorporate that into your idea and your understanding of Christmas and Easter, and especially Easter. What I think would help you understand this a little more is someday do this little experiment. Go over here to Walmart or someplace where there's a lot of people, and just kind of stop and observe. Watch people move in and out, and they're in their own little worlds and what have you. Each person is a city on a hill. I used that phrase before. Each person gives light to a set of ideas and a way they understand the world around them. You have groups of them. As you observe people moving around, they connect together in families and what have you. And so there's many different people moving around all the time. As you sit here and watch these people move around, think of that as worlds, galaxies, universes, what have you. It may help you give a perspective of how large and how big this idea is, in which Jesus has come down to this one little planet and did what he did. And I think we should be thankful for what happened. Everybody is busy. Everybody is doing things. Everybody is moving around as you observe and stand still and look around. I think this will help us understand worlds within worlds within worlds within worlds, an infinite idea. And that, to me, helps me understand the reality in which we are in. We are a small little speck of dirt out in some little galaxy here somewhere, and each of us represent a city on the hill, as I used last year. And to me, if you don't have some kind of vastness and grasp of the reality of the greatness of this universe, then you're kind of denying the existence of science and the big, large body of science that is out there. As there is gods within gods, worlds within worlds, and it keeps on going and on and on. Where did the idea of sacrifices come from? For me, I think when mankind, humanity, became self-aware, when they realized that it was that we are humans, when humanity realized, or man, or or men and women, I'm talking about humanity, said, oh, I am a human. And that's what I mean by coming self-aware. And they recognize other. I am different than that. I am different than you. I am self-aware. René Descartes, in some years around 1600, said, in order to substantiate that he was real and alive, said, I think, therefore I am. So that phrase encompasses what I want to say about self-aware. When did that happen? I don't know. Is it before, is it back in the Neanderthal way? I have no idea. Cro-Magnus, I don't know. I'm not here to set a date on when humanity became self-aware or when the individual became self-aware. I don't know. And I don't know if science really knows that either. But what happened when humanity became self-aware, fear set in. Automatically, fear set in. And so what happened? There was a fear of around us, a fear of the darkness, fear of the light, fear of whatever. And so immediately they began to set things out in order to appease gods. I think the idea of gods were built right into us right from the very beginning. I mean, you can't hardly get away from it. You can't. I don't know how you can. I don't believe that we just simply grew out of the earth. It could be possible that through an evolutionary process, but I think God, there was a force and energy that was inputted into that, that it just didn't happen by happenstance. I just don't believe that. I think there's too much that for me, there has to be a larger consciousness that exists in which we all are attached to. So when that happened, we tried to appease whoever to give us a good day, to go to warn off bad things and against our neighbors and all this kind of stuff. To me, I think that's when sacrifices started. And it grew from there. Now, as I talk about gods and goddesses, I think at one time they walked the earth. They walked the earth. Now you can call them, I've had discussions with people that believe in aliens, life on other planets. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I can't imagine, I went out the other night and it was really, I came home around midnight and I looked up and saw all the stars and I said, there's got to be something more out there than just our little speck here on this earth. So for me, I look out there and say, yes, there's something out there. I don't know. Are they much more advanced than when we are here? Don't know. I think at some time, I mean, there's all kinds of literature you can read about various different things, about ufology and what have you. I don't have a problem with that. If you want to understand God through a process of that, great. No problem. Yeah.
You think that if, I always figured there's just one God, that if he started us, then you think he also in charge of those other planets then?
Well, I would think so. There has to be a force that is in charge of all of the universe. It has to be.
Like first cause. There has to be a first cause.
Yeah, that goes to theology. There's a first cause. It goes back to...
That is the big God.
Well, see, I have a little reluctance to say that's the big God, because then you're saying that point right there. So I see it as a spirit. In John it says God is a spirit. So that's the most that I think we can understand. This universal power, this universal force, to say it is one being at the top, I think is to legitimize really what the Bible and many of our spiritual Bibles talk about.
Nor is in the Bible did God actually ask for a sacrifice, did he?
Well, I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
Gods did. But God didn't. That's the distinction. And so as we became self-aware and what have you, we got our full range of emotions. Our minds begin to think. So you can use the fall of, so said, fall of humanity to illustrate this. You can say, well, this is when humanity became self-aware. And then it goes on to say that God or made skins to put on Adam and Eve, and then they left the garden. That's an illustration to me. I think is think of as we became physical. There's a lot of different ways. Just because the traditional way you understood Genesis is not the only way you can understand Genesis or even the Bible in general. You can take phrases within phrases and get a lot of deep understanding. But I think it has to connect in some way. It has to flow in some way. You can't just come up with some weird idea and say, well, it says it in these two words. There has to be some kind of connection or flow. I use the example it says in the Bible, and that was before the land was divided. Well, to me, that's all. At one time, as science says, all the landmass was together. So is that an understanding of when the Titanic plates split and the landmasses begin to spread out? I think it does refer to that. But that's just me. It could mean other things. It could mean a lot of different things. I take the Genesis story in various different ways along the way. So to answer your question about God wanting sacrifices, if you believe in a plural Elohim, meaning plural in the Bible, many, come let us, then you have to realize that there's beings, gods and goddesses who created humanity and who played a direct hand in humanity, and them are the ones that wanted sacrifice. That's how I see it. Now, I look at the Old Testament, and if you want evidence of it, read the Old Testament and the very detailed way in which Yahweh, the God of Israel, which that's the phrase that is used in the Bible, Yahweh, the God of Israel, used many, many, many times, refers, lays out in great detail exactly how he wanted the sacrifices done. That's an example of what happened to all cultures. All cultures did this. Don't think you're exempt from it. You're tied back here somewhere to some blood sacrifice somewhere. It happened in your lineage way back here somewhere. You're not exempt because you're up here now and you think, oh, I'd never do something like that. You are. We are all tied back into that type of system somewhere. So this is the way I see the sacrifices starting. They're gruesome. They are, if you read about human sacrifices, and the Israelite people did that. The Aztecs did it. In order to satisfy and appease their God. And that's the term that's used, their God. Not only in the Old Testament, but in other writings, their God. It refers to their God. So how else can you take this picture of you have a multiple of cultures and a multiple of gods demanding self-worship to them? That's essentially what I think happens. I think that's all in the creation of humanity, all in the creation of the universe. And then at some point in time, somebody, I take it in Daniel somewhere. Daniel refers to it. I'm really off script. I'm just going on. But anyway, Daniel says that at some point in time, this was all going to stop. There's a little blurb in there in which I take. I should have probably looked it up, but I can refer you to it. Where the idea that gods were given the right and reign of this earth for some time, but that was going to cease. Because they did what they did. They had self-worship and all this kind of stuff that they wanted to promote. Even Yahweh, the God of Israel. I do not believe, as some people believe, that Yahweh, the God of Israel, was a pre-incarnation of Christ. That's a term that's used in theology today. I think that's a definite distinction. Jesus comes from the line of Melchizedek, which is a priesthood, an eternal priesthood that was outside the Jewish law. They didn't, that was outside of that. And that's where Jesus came from. This is all in the Bible. You can read it if you want. So to me, the first sacrifices probably came, you want to look at maybe Cain and Abel. But then again, I look at that and I say, well, that means a lot of different things too. It doesn't mean just that they approved of sacrifices and they had different sacrifices. It's two different ways of thinking. One, I think, is we are to live in the blessing. Abel was, he lived in the blessing. The fat of the animal he sacrifices, fat is always a blessing. If you have a fat animal, you have plenty of feed, and it does well. So you're living in the blessing. Where Cain was more wanting to be blessed. And I think those two ideas go the whole way through the Bible. Sometimes we...
So you take sacrifices only as blood?
No, animals.
Well, as blood.
But what else?
There's food. There's something that...
Yes.
...sacred to you, objects that you hand over. Sacrifice is part of the word sacred.
So is that why we wear good luck charms? Is that still part of that whole? Huh? We put on a sacred object that means something, a rabbit foot in our pocket, or what have you. Isn't that still part of that whole type of thing?
Yeah, but it's not bloody and it sounds so bad sometimes if you're offering food. I mean, I know like Hindus, I mean, they offer a lot of food to their gods and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's not bloody and scary and...
Well, yes, there is grain offerings, even for the Israelite people to do. Grain offerings were given. It wasn't always a bloody mess. But blood represents the life force. And so for me, I mean, we're going to sing a song here about the fountain of blood.
But plants don't have blood, they have a life force.
They have a fluid that runs up and down through them. They're up the food chain a little ways. So what's your point?
Well, I'm just saying, sacrifice doesn't sound as, I mean, it sounds bad when we read it, you know. But I don't think all sacrifices are bad. Sometimes you sacrifice something for the good, you know, that means a lot to you.
Okay, I'll back up and I'll, yes, Dan.
So maybe if... we go to eat dinner and think, well, I'd just like to eat the whole pie and nothing else, and say, well, I'm not going to do that. It wouldn't be good for me. I'll eat meat and potatoes first and that, be sacrificing something.
You mean, a little bit of something?
You're sacrificing for your own good.
Yeah, you're God. Sometimes you have to hand it over to something else and never, you know, have it again.
Yes. Sacrifice take on many different forms. Okay, so I'll back up a little bit and say something I wanted to say, but I kind of forgot. So on that idea that it doesn't necessarily have to be animals, so didn't God sacrifice in order to create the God being whatever, sacrifice in order to create the universe? He moved across the deep. He performed an action. He breathed into humanity. Isn't that a sacrifice?
I see that as creativity, you know, something beautiful, blessing, or, you know.
Okay, but isn't that somewhat, you're giving of something and making it of yourself and giving it?
Giving money to the church every Sunday would be a sacrifice then.
That's an offering. Yes, you can do that. Yes. So to get to your point, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to go out and kill an animal, no, in order to appease God or your God. So we moved away from that. What's that mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, we have, I guess, most cultures have. I mean, there might be still some out there that do blood sacrifices.
Yes, there was some up on top of Barclay Mountain years ago who went up there and sacrificed a chicken. And scapegoating, that was another I was going to get at.
Don't you have to have some kind of like ceremony or sacredness to it? I mean.
Well, that's what sacrifice was intended for. It means a sacred giving or making a sacred, making something sacred. That's what the term sacrifice means.
That was man's idea, not God's. That's the sacrifice.
I think that God's demanded of humanity, and it worked the other way around too.
Only because they walked the earth and wanted them to do, you know, some of the crops or some of their, I don't think we just always did it blindly to, you know, pie in the sky.
So who do we do it to?
People that, you know, were, say your kings or queens or somebody more intelligent or somebody that had control or something.
Yeah, it was to the gods. Okay, so what happened to the power structure in the government? So when those beings no longer walked on earth, then humanity stood themselves up as being kings and queens of people. So they replaced them with humans, and they became the power structure. All this is a whole process of going on and on and on. But for me, I see Jesus as saying, okay, this is it. There's no more sacrifice needed to be done. Because if you think about it, up until that time, there were sacrifices done. Even on the day when Jesus walked on this earth, sacrifices were done. But after that, it went away. I mean, I don't care how you look at it, whether you believe in Jesus or whatever, you can't deny that idea changed dramatically after that. He said, for this cause I came into the world, that through me the world might be redeemed. So, and for this the Father has sent me in. It does say that. He took this on.
He knew that was really going to happen. I mean, because the Jewish people had to say, well, take this one or this one, and they said, well, take Jesus.
Barabbas?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now you're getting into...
Was it God? Was it Jesus? Or was it people?
Which do you think?
The people, in a way, but maybe God in his all infinity knew this was all going to happen and it played out like the script was written.
So if you were looking down on humanity again and you were a God and you said... They had all these practices of sacrifices. How would you go about stopping that? They had human sacrifices. They had animal sacrifices. Now, wouldn't you send somebody down there and say, okay, this is it. I'm going to sacrifice this person, you know, in this case, God's son, and that's it. You're done. You don't need to do that no more. Well, resurrection and eternal life, Jesus knew that he wasn't going to die anyway. That's a part of the salvation plan of humanity.
Kind of nice where people can ask questions or offer comments. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't have any problem.
Thank you for not having me.
I don't want it to boil over just in her and I having a conversation. We do this all the time, so it's nothing new. One of the ideas, okay, I'll make a couple more comments. The food chain. Isn't the food chain, you know, each animal living on the next animal, isn't that a sacrificial system of somewhat?
Survival of the fittest.
Survival of the fittest. Okay, but isn't that built upon one sacrifices for another for sacrifices for another? Come get me, right? But nevertheless, it's part of the system that's built into creation. It doesn't have to be, does sacrifice have, does a soldier who goes over and fights a war go over with the intent that I'm going to be dead, I'm going to give my life and that's it, I'm not coming back? The possibility of it, yes, but he doesn't necessarily, or he or she doesn't necessarily go over there or go wherever and fight in the hopes that, well, I know I'm dead. So willing or unwilling, it still happens. Do you think the people that the Aztecs threw down and took their hearts right out of them while they were alive wanted that to happen? Do you think they went willingly?
No.
No.
Maybe that's a
It was done.
Is a sacrifice, like I say, for you to do it for the good, you know, and that you're the...
But they understood that as being the good. See, you want to move ahead and say, move to the reality in which we understand today and go back and say, well, they must have had that too. They didn't have that. They thought it was good.
I don't know. People didn't want to draw that lottery either.
I got three comments on that one.
Whoever got them started in the first place, like their leader, he's the one that told them it was right to do that.
Yeah, it was part of their culture.
It wasn't God.
No, I don't think it was God, the God where Jesus came from, no.
And just because it was a leader doesn't tell us that, doesn't make it all so easy to say, oh, okay, yeah, okay, we'll do that.
I think maybe the Lord God started after a while. He said, well, I got them started, it's up to them now. I'll watch them and see how they do.
And so we didn't do real good, did we?
Not too good.
Jerry, and then there's Carol, well, whichever. Yeah.
And they would sacrifice to these individual gods.
Yeah.
Some would require grains, and some
yeah.
would require human. And some would require animal.
Yeah.
But the old Greek writings, if you actually read the history on their religion, and it would give you a broader sense of what you're trying to explain on the pulpit. Because the Greeks did it all.
Yeah. And that was Greek and Roman times, is right around Jesus' time.
Right.
Right. And then, Connie. Oh, Carol, I'm sorry.
Now I have a question for Jerry.
Oh, okay. Okay, go ahead.
Doesn't your line of thought fit in with the structure of Native American religion?
But it falls into actually any culture you look at. But the way the Greek writings are, the clarity of it, is so good that you actually get the true picture of why there were sacrifices, the belief in many gods, and the duties of these gods. And so the way they practice their religion, which you can't really give it a definite name, I can't remember what to call it. But if you look at any culture, and their beliefs or their religion, you can find it right there, totally in the Greek history.
There's many different types of sacrifices. Even in the Hebrew setting, they weren't supposed to have human sacrifices. So. Okay, which. Yes.
So my argument would be that human nature has this aspect to it, which ties in with Jerry's. It doesn't make any difference which culture you're looking at.
No, it don't.
We had this as part of the culture. And at some point, I think, therefore I am, I think maybe I don't want to do this as extremely as I have. And you start writing some of it out.
We hope to.
Well, you write parts of it.
Yeah, we still are doing a lot of sacrifices. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we modify the structure.
Yeah.
Connie, you're on.
Connie.
The thing with Jesus' sacrifice is that it seems to be the ultimate one.
Yes.
The one to shock everybody back to, you don't sacrifice each other for this. I have done it for you.
Right.
And
right.
That is that there need not be any more.
That's the beauty of, that's one of the things, the beauty of Easter.
Right.
Yeah. But at the same time, when you talk about the sacrifices of terrorists or kamikazes, their sacrifices are to kill as many other people as possible.
because their religious thought and their God wants them to do it.
And it's a very mistaken God, or a very mistaken interpretation of what their God wants.
Because they're going to be rewarded.
Yes, but they still believe in gods. They have to.
Yes.
Yes. The world still believes in gods, even though Jesus did all this stuff. These gods are still alive. I mean, these ideas, they live in us, which we give them voice and give them a light to. They're still alive.
But we believe Jesus is...
I think you're mistaken. People don't believe in no other gods.
Okay, what did you say, Connie?
The same as Dan. We don't believe in those other gods. He is the one.
Okay, you're right. But the world at large hasn't risen to that level yet. We're not there yet. And that's it. When even Christianity did, does not see Jesus as a universal thing globally of what he did. They want to claim the right to themselves. You have to believe a certain way. You have to do a certain thing. You have a certain denomination. We're still serving gods within Christianity. Gods being thought systems.
You know what I mean?
No.
Well, you sacrifice something, and people that don't believe, you know, Jesus did the ultimate sacrifice, but they would still continue. Why do they sacrifice for whatever they want?
So you're saying, why don't they accept
the sacrifice, but they believe in their own sacrifices that they do?
For their own self-glory and their self-vain and the power that they want to raise their one God up to, you know, small
so
energy got up.
Work. That's what I'm saying. Do they think sacrifices don't work?
No, they definitely believe the sacrifices work within their system.
Within their system, but do they always get what they are sacrificing to?
How do I know?
So sacrifices aren't worth it. Now.
Well. Now, okay, so now you say soldiers who go over and fight for this country is not preserving this country a sacrifice?
Going over like a terrorist, like Carol was saying, like a terrorist or somebody intent on really.
But we're going over with the intent of wiping them out.
Well, I guess we are.
Well, see, I believe God's grace and mercy is great enough to forgive even them. So, I just do. Because someone doesn't understand the way you and I may, or see God's grace as great as what we do, doesn't mean it doesn't work on them, too.
They don't go to heaven with a bunch of...
In my Father's house, there's many mansions. Well, they may not get virgins, but, you know.
Or is there sacrifices, like, you know... Can an individual in their own sacrifice something and hope to get rid of their mom? Or were they more like ceremonies back then? You know, the town had the mound wands and, you know.
It was ceremonies. It was a mound worship where you went up on the mound and a city on the hill and all that.
Right.
The whole culture did it, participated in it.
Yeah, so there's different levels of sacrifice.
Yeah. Now you're getting back to the. You're getting back to the Cain and Abel thing again. Cain gave it out of grudgingly wanting something, and Abel gave it because he was blessed. So how do we? This idea flows through humanity. Dan.
Probably after Christ, he's looking down and saying, "Why are you bothering sacrificing? I've done it all for you."
Yeah. But us being humans, what we are, we're still doing this stuff. And it's a sad reality. I think in some ways, the Christian faith has created a scenario in which it can't really necessarily flourish out and reach out to all cultures. We said, this is ours. Jesus is ours. It's our religion. It's our. And then you have the idea of white claimed it and all this and that. I'm not even going to get into that. But, you know, self-claiming of what Jesus did to myself and only me and my group.
Right. I think that's the difference. Like I say, different levels of sacrifices. It had to be, you know, you sacrifice something so the whole town or the whole group benefited for the
people. Yeah, they did. They had a good year. Women produced children.
Bringing our little individual sacrifices, I don't know if they, you know.
They don't count? Wow. It's all good. It's all good. Am I over time? Huh? Should I stop here and continue next Sunday and then go on to the next one?
You can go on for a while.
All right, go on for a while. Some people say something, some people say today. Okay. I have more to say, so I'll pick up from there. And next Sunday, we'll get into another controversial subject, resurrection, which I'm sure many of us have different types of views of it. And that's great. I think that's wonderful. It probably won't be the same as mine, just the same as, and that's okay. I want people to share what they think about resurrection. Then freedom will be another one. I'm sure that'll be. And so I will close with that, with amen. It's an offering, not a sacrifice.
As the guilty. bless it, that it may be used to benefit your kingdom. Amen.